And I want to welcome you to the I Want to Know More podcast for this fourth week of June 2024. On the podcast this week, we're going to be going into 2 Samuel chapter number 6. We're going to start down at verse number 12. As we've mentioned before, 2 Samuel and the books of Samuel and the books of Kings are predominantly talking about man's way of doing things. Now, there's some overlap, but if you really contrast things where you find that the books of Samuel and Kings record something different than the books of the Chronicles, study it out very carefully. Study it out very carefully. God's trying to tell us something with the differences. And so we're going to look at a little bit of that today. There's one major difference. There's two major differences in the accounts of 2 Samuel and the account of 1 Chronicles that we're going to look at today. All right. 2 Samuel chapter number 6. We're going to start reading at verse number 12. 2 Samuel 6, verse 12. The Bible says, "And it was told King David, saying, The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And the ark of the Lord came into the city of David. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to every one a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed every one to his house. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. And David said unto Michal, It was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father and before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. And I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in my own sight. And of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death." Now we've talked through the First Chronicles side of this. Now here's the Second Samuel side of this. And It's pretty staggering to me what the main difference is. The main difference is 2 Samuel does not record all of the facts about the Levites. It doesn't record that there were singers and they were put over it and all the instruments and all the preparations. See, God is interested in who is doing his work. He is. Man might not be. Man might not be very interested. David was the only person there that had reputation that man would be interested in. But God is a different story. And God is very interested in who it was that David appointed. God is very interested in who does his work. And one of the things that is mentioned in both places, both in 1 Chronicles as well as here in 2 Samuel, is something that I really didn't see very well previously. And that is that David gave a good piece of flesh and a loaf of bread and a flagon, that is a pitcher, not a big pitcher, but a good sized mug of wine. And it was good stuff. It was the unfermented variety, more than likely. Of course, you know, wine in those days was fermented for preservative effect. It was specifically fermented because they did not have refrigeration. And so alcoholic wine will keep where without refrigeration, whereas grape juice will not. And that's something that's a little alien to our ears in this day of pasteurized canned grape juice. But we have to remember that's just a little over 100 and some odd years old that we've had that, thanks to Welch, of course. Welch's grape juice, and canned and preserved, pasteurized, and safe to drink. Unfermented wine back in that day would not necessarily be safe to drink, because fermentation is a controlled process. It doesn't allow bacteria to grow because the yeast has turned the sugars that the bacteria would feed on into alcohol. And so it was a necessary thing in that day and in that culture. It was necessary. But I find it very interesting that it's called out both here and in 1 Chronicles that this was given both to women as well as men. Now, the order's different. 1 Chronicles records both men and women. And this one records women as well as men. But the implication is very clear. Women were not excluded from this. David did not exclude the women folk from participating in this. He did not exclude the women folk from enjoying the celebration. And this goes against the grain of the age that David lives in. It does. Women were treated more like property than they were people. And it's very interesting. It's very interesting that women figure into this story very, very deeply. David gives men and women. He returns to bless his house, and his first wife, Michal, comes out to meet him. Now, she might not have been the first one he would go to. Regardless, she came out to meet him. She's presuming a little bit, and she's getting ready to fuss at him for the way he acted. And David sets her in her place about it and says, it was before the Lord. And then he gives her the statement, I will yet be more vile than thus. And she was childless the rest of her days. Effectively a divorce, but he could not divorce her. He couldn't, because she was Saul's daughter. And anyone who married her had a claim to Saul's throne, see? So it wasn't that he could divorce her, and no one else could give her a writ of divorce. Mm-mm. Her father had annulled it once, but David knew that that was a dangerous thing politically, and Michal should have known that it was a dangerous thing politically. And so now Michal's going to be childless because of her presumption. Doesn't mean she's property. She's not. But it does mean that she don't have control over David either. And again, this is kind of very straightforward. It's very blunt scripture here. It really is. But I find it very interesting that men and women all were given a loaf of bread, and that would have been something like a pita, you know. We're not talking a loaf like you go to the store and buy a loaf of Wonder Bread. No. We're talking about a large pita or a very thick tortilla, and a large one. And then a chunk of flesh and a flagon of wine. Yeah. And by the way, you get all those together and you've got a fairly balanced diet, because the grape does not lose its nutrients when it's fermented. In fact, it gains nutrients from the fermentation process. And so the wine here a fruit and full of, packed full of vitamins, the flesh with protein, and the loaf of bread with carbohydrates. To get a chunk of meat like this, a chunk of flesh, was an extreme privilege. Not everybody could afford it. You know, that's been true even in these communities around here within the last 100 years. My mom tells stories of when they were growing up, and they grew up real poor, and they did not have meat every meal. Sometimes the meal would be cornbread and milk, or just regular bread and milk. Yeah, that's the way they had to do. And some of the meat they ended up eating probably would gross out some people. You know, they did what they could, and they lived the best they could. And they grew up poor. They grew up real poor. We're so spoiled that we think we have to have meat at every meal. We are. That's spoiled. That's just downright spoiled. Because it's not always been that way. And so to get a piece of meat, not just any meat, the king's meat. The king's meat. Perhaps, since it was peace offerings now, and this is important, the Bible records here burnt offerings as well as peace offerings. And peace offerings were the offerings that allowed the people and the offerer to have a piece of meat. And so we know there were 7 bullocks and 7 rams sacrificed. Some of those were burnt offerings, that is, completely consumed. And some of those, probably the rams, but maybe some of the bullocks. Some of the bullocks and some of the rams would have been sacrifices of peace offerings. And so there's several large cattle being slaughtered, and they basically had a huge barbecue. Although it wasn't roast over fire, more than likely. If it were per the pattern given for peace offerings, it would have been sodden. That is, it would have been pot roast. And so it would have been a piece of pot roast or braised meat like you would a brisket. Braising a brisket or braising a relatively tough cut of meat in liquid. That's very likely what it was, but it could have been roast, and it could have been what we would consider barbecue. It could have been. The Bible does not record how it was cooked, but everybody that was there got a piece of flesh. They had a celebration, a tremendous celebration, men and women. And again, this was different. This was different from what the custom of the day would have been to include women. But here we have it, the journey of the ark. David hears that Obed-Edom's being blessed. We find in 1 Chronicles that he said, we didn't do it right, and that's why Uzzah died. So there's 2 reasons here in the Bible given for him taking the ark to his house. He finds out Obed-Edom's being blessed, and he realizes he didn't do it the right way. And man's way is typically to look at the blessings. It is. We see somebody getting blessed and we want to do it the same way. That's not atypical for the flesh. And so 2 Samuel continues to record man's way of things. Man's way of things. But now there's some overlap. This thing of the celebration is recorded in both places. It pleased God to include the people in the celebration. And, you know, that was politically expedient. David, with this huge sacrifice of peace offerings and the fact that a great deal of the flesh would have gone to him and his household, he spread it out and people loved him for it. But God's way, he realized he had done it wrong. And that's when we find out all these details and the details of the preparations, the details of who in the Levites were allowed to do it, and the fact that they hadn't done it God's way before. That was overlooked here in the reading of 2 Samuel. It was overlooked to a degree. And we're not given the details. And as it stands, we're not told who actually carried the ark. We know there's porters and doorkeepers. We know that. A porter is someone who carries. That's what a porter is. That's why when people climb Mount Everest, they hire porters, which are Sherpas, which live at that kind of altitude. And it's a religious experience for the Sherpas to climb Everest. They don't call it Mount Everest. They have a whole different name for it in their religion. And they sacrifice. They burn juniper berries and they do things prior to climbing Everest as part of their religion. And anyone who climbs it has to partake in that ceremony or they will not carry your stuff. And you need them to carry your stuff. Climbing Everest is a big deal. But that's what a porter is. A porter is someone who carries things. And so these porters could very well have been the ones that carried the ark in. And some of them are listed by name, some are not. But here, 2 Samuel does not list any names. It doesn't give recognition to anyone but David in this. And that is man's way. Man's way is for the chief guy to take everybody else's credit. But that's not God's way. As the old song goes, I'll face nobody's record but my own. Which means when God judges, I can't hide behind a head guy. Even if I worked under someone else's ministry, I am going to be held accountable for my part in that ministry. I'm going to be held accountable for what I did for the Lord. I'm going to be held accountable. They won't be held accountable for my work, and I will not be held accountable for theirs. They're independent. But here is one instance where everyone's treated equally, men and women. And then Michal says, oh, you danced so gloriously before the handmaids. Here we have the women again. It's almost like she's jealous that she's at home and not part of the party. Do you see this? Do you see what Michal's problem is? And again, we already went over this to a degree, but let's dig just a little deeper. Dig just a little deeper. Michal didn't go. Now, why might that have been? Did David not invite her? Or did she just refuse? Or did she say, I'll be at the end and I'll see you at the end, which is the place of most glory, is at the end of the line. And she didn't want to walk. She was used to being king's daughter, you know. And David lays it out to her when he says, look, basically he's saying, how dare you criticize me? God made me king in your father's stead. Who do you think you are coming out here and meeting me with everybody watching and criticizing me openly like that? This was serious. In reality, David had the power to have her put to death. Now, he wasn't going to do it because he wasn't that kind of guy. But he did say, I'm going to be vile. I'm going to be more vile than thus. And he considered what he was doing to be a vile thing, to not allow her to have children to the day of her death. That was a vile thing in David's own eyes. He understood his responsibility to his wife. He understood what that responsibility entailed. In that day and in that age, giving the wife children, conception was incredibly important. Being barren was a curse. We see Hannah, for instance. She goes and prays for children. And she says, I'll give this child to the Lord. And God gives her a son. And she follows through and gives it to the Lord. Because she is fertile, and it proves that she is fertile. But she was barren, and that was a curse in that day and in that age. To not have children And Michal did not have children with David at all. Now, there is a section where Michal is told to have had children, and we'll get there. We'll talk about that when we get there, because it's very possible that they were her older sister's children, and she adopted them. Of course, she didn't take them back with her to the palace. They must have been old enough to be on their own. They must have been of age. And so we'll look at that when we get to that scripture. David is on his best day, his day of victory. Have you ever noticed that? Many times after the best services, you have the worst problems with family. Huh? I've noticed that. I have. Have a tremendous service. And then something happens with the kids. Mm-hmm. I've had that happen more times than I can count. Family can be your best friend. Family can be your worst enemy. And that can get you when it really hurts. And again, David was coming off of a great celebration here. He was going home to bless his house. And here comes Michal, full of herself. And she criticizes David and says, how glorious was the king of Israel today, showing himself to his handmaids. She was jealous of all the women that were looking at David, as handsome as he must have been. The Bible says that he was very, very fair to look upon, of a ruddy complexion, very, very much a man's man. Let me tell you, and when I say a man's man, that means a man that men would strive to want to be like. A man that men would strive to want to look like, because women would be enthralled with this man. After all, it was women that danced and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. They were all over David. David had a fan club. And that fan club had a lot of women in it. And the fact that David had several wives, by this point he's in Jerusalem, so all those wives he got in Hebron, and Michal, she might be first wife, but she's finding herself at a distinct disadvantage. And so there's definitely some jealousy speaking here. And jealousy like that is definitely, definitely a fleshly thing. That's man's way. Man's way is jealousy, envy. And there again, this goes past jealousy. She is envious. She's envious of the handmaids that got to see him up close, dancing, and in her eyes at least, acting the fool. She didn't think much of what David was doing here. She didn't. She says so much about it. And this is the last we hear of her, until we find out that some of her sons, again, probably her older sister's sons, but they have her name attached to them. Her sons are going to have to pay a price. And they're going to have to pay a steep price. And that's the next time that she's mentioned. But this is the only place we see that David said, I will be more vile than thus. And he follows through with that. David is a man who follows through. He's a man who, when he says he's going to do something, he does it. And he brought the ark in. He said he would. He had a great day. And his wife came and deflated his bubble, popped his bubble. And he lets her know that that's her undoing. That's her undoing. All right. So next chapter, I encourage you to go ahead and read ahead in the next chapter, both in 1 Chronicles, where David goes to Nathan and mentions this, as well as here in 2 Samuel chapter 7, because this is a pivotal point in David's ministry, and it's going to be an incredible thing that he has done for him by the Lord. And I want to thank you for listening to the I Want to Know More podcast. For this week in June 2024. The I Want to Know More podcast is a ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me about the podcast, please write Brother Lamar Owen, Post Office Box 212, P.O. Box 212, Balsam Grove, two words, Balsam Grove, North Carolina 28708. And the Lord willing, we'll see you here again on the next edition of the I Want to Know More podcast.